Welcome to the Youth Block on Youth Express. This is Suniata Rice, and I'm a 12th grade, and I go to Pittsburgh Kappa. Joining me are...
Oh, what's up, y'all? My name is Kamar Neal, and I'm a 10th grader at Kappa.
What's up, y'all? This is Christopher Trump. Just to let y'all know, it's T-R-O-M-P, but I'm also a senior at Pittsburgh Kappa.
So today we'll be discussing what Team Block is, as well as our main campaign, upcoming events. But first, we want to talk about how does Team Block advance equity and excellence? And how we do that is build upon the understanding students have about their rights and their power within the educational system. Engage your students in advocacy and leadership development so they are equipped with toolkit of skills and knowledge that prepares them for organizing efforts. Connect students with a strong network of allies. Team Block students are from a variety of different high schools throughout Pittsburgh. Team Block members accepted the challenge of driving the program, organizing themselves, and pushing their peers to stretch, sharpen, and grow their ability to affect change. Participants be on a regular basis throughout the year to continue to raise awareness and work to change the issues they have identified as barriers to equity and excellence within their schools. And of course, Team Block is a coalition of student leaders and organizers in Pittsburgh's high schools whose purpose is to raise the student voice and create positive change in the schools. So you're probably wondering what Team Block does to campaign, to make change, and I'm going to let Kamar talk about what they did over the summer.
Oh, yeah. So basically, me and a group of students, we met at this building, A-Plus Schools is down in the Hill District. And when we met together, we talked about problems we face in our schools, you know, collectively as a group, and whether it be racism between the students, between the teachers, bullying. It all came down to one main problem, which is non-effective teachers. And so we just built from there. We built three components that we would use to, you know, campaign our message out there to different students, to different universities, everywhere to get our message out there. So our first component was the PCT. TV. Basically, you'll probably see us in videos talking about problems such as the ones I listed before, how we're going to get our message out there. The podcast, what you're listening to right now, we're just talking about the same thing, the problems we may face, how we're going to resolve them.
Yeah.
Different student leaders that you may see who are with us trying to do the same thing that we're doing right now. And the last one, I believe, are the university teachings. We'll probably go to colleges, talk about our campaign, how we're going to get the message out there, how they can help us to, you know, resolve the problems we face.
Definitely. Like Kamar was saying that, you know, over the summer, they did a lot of stuff. And Kamar, do you want to talk about the student bill of rights?
Yeah. When we talked about the problems, we were like, well, how are we going to justify, like, why is this such a big deal and why do we need this? And that's where the Student Bill of Rights comes from.
Right.
Basically, we, the students of Pittsburgh Public Schools, in order to form a more perfect district, do ordain and establish this Student Bill of Rights. The more perfect district will establish justice, ensure coexistence in the school community, promote general understanding, and secure all of the following rights entitled to all Pittsburgh Public School students. And the first right we have is the right to free expression. We want to be able to exercise our First Amendment rights under the United States Constitution to the maximum extent possible. We understand that any content shall not contain anything obscene, libelous, or slanderous as defined by the Pittsburgh Public Schools Student Code of Conduct.
Yeah.
We want to be able to express ourselves in an official school newspaper, to circulate petitions, to conduct polls, to set up information tables, organize clubs, sponsor speakers and activities, and to post notices on school bulletin boards. Our second right is the right to participate in decisions that affect our education. We want opportunities to regularly discuss issues that impact our education with school board members, district administration, and school administration. Mm-hmm. Schools shall inform students of these opportunities through a variety of means. In addition, we want the right to appeal any disciplinary action if it violates the right to a public education or other rights that are guaranteed under state or federal laws. Our third right is the right to equitable academic resources.
Yeah.
We want the right to equitable access to academic resources. Schools are to provide every student with the appropriate tools and the necessary supports needed to graduate, to go to college, or pursue a career. The district shall ensure that there is an equitable distribution of effective teachers throughout Pittsburgh Public Schools. And I'm going to let my man Chris read a little bit more of our rights.
Go ahead, Chris. Do you think?
All right. Four. Right to a social, emotionally, and a physically safe and positive school climate. We want to be in a positive learning environment that does not resemble a prison and where the fundamental dignity of all is protected. All disciplinaries, including contracted service providers like bus drivers or security staff, are to be trained in youth development, positive behavior interventions, de-escalation techs, and restorative justice practices.
Mm-hmm.
Five, right to inclusive teaching and learning environments in our classrooms. We want positive classrooms that feel safe, respectful, and welcoming, where everyone can learn. We want our teachers not only to care about the progress in the classroom, but also to care about us as human beings. We want to be engaged in challenging and relevant learning, and to the extent in which it can. We want it to be fun. Six, to be treated with respect and dignity by the school community. We want to go to schools free from bullying by students and adults. No student shall be discriminated against on the basis of race, ethnic, gender, sexual orientation, gender identification, language, and national origin, religion, disability, or ethnic status. We want an independent administrator to evaluate student treatment, to provide appropriate training and counseling to students and staff, and to help school leaders create culture of respect for all students.
Definitely, definitely. And to add on, we definitely want the right to effective teachers. We want to be educated by teachers who are knowledgeable about their discipline, who use various teacher strategies that contribute to a greater understanding of the subject matter, who are responsive to student input, who are caring, supportive, and culturally competent. And also, we want a right to positive school disciplinary policies and practices. We want to be disciplined on an individual basis. Group punishment for individual misdeeds shall not be permitted. Schools shall adopt positive forms of discipline to teach students appropriate social and behavioral skills. If any disciplinary action is taken, it is to be evidence-based, aimed at addressing the cause of the behavior, resolving the situation, restoring all relationships that were involved, refraining from criminalizing students, and bringing the students back into the school community in a positive manner. We want to be able to participate in school disciplinary committee meetings to provide input on how disciplinary policies are working in practice, and the right to equitable access to accelerated classes and academic counseling. We want to be able to participate in accelerated academic classes and have access to our school's college counselor when we reach ninth grade. A full range of advanced placement classes shall be accessible to all students regardless of the school in which they attend. We want to receive early college and career-focused interventions, including but not limited to vocational apprenticeships, guidance on course selection, college selection, and entrance exam test preparation. And last but not least, right to efficient transportation. We want efficient and safe transportation to school and school events. Students with disabilities and students who are identified as homeless and foster care or listed as living outside the home are not to be denied transportation. So those are the student bill of rights.
And really why we want so many students to be able to come out is because these are our rights as students. These are things that we need to know and things that our parents also need to know. This is so that we are protected in our schools. We've been in a system with our schools that have been failing us somewhat. And now we want to restructure our schools. We need as many students to come out, not just for us, but for the younger generation, because this isn't just for us. Everything that we're doing is for the younger generation of schools.
Yeah, definitely. In a matter of years, we should not still be facing the same problems that I've been going through when I was in elementary school, middle school, or high school. Like, the problems we're facing right now should be eradicated. I should not be coming back to schools if we're still in the same place we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Like, we should be moving forward as a school district, as like schools worldwide or even citywide.
And now we're going to talk about experiences that we've been through, you know, through our years of school. So, Chris, what experience did you been through throughout your years at school with an effective teacher?
Throughout the years of being in Pittsburgh Public Schools, I've actually dealt with a few different effective teachers in great ways and also in negative ways. I've had teachers that have told me that, I don't know how you're going to graduate, I don't know how you're going to get past this grade, but then I also had teachers that had pushed me to do better, that always let me know that I could do whatever if I put my mind to it, that I can be the certain student that I want to be, even though I have certain things going on. I have an IEP in certain things, but certain teachers will make it seem as if I can't do the work myself.
Yeah,
I don't want you to, or they'll talk to me in a way where as if they'll try to like make it seem like I'm not where I'm supposed to be or I'm not
like
where
slow.
I'm at.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I don't need to be in that class. There's teachers that actually told me that I shouldn't be in their class before.
But disregarded or something.
But then there's other teachers that'll help me and push me through and give me the confidence that I need. And it's built up my self-esteem in school.
So how did you feel about that? I mean, what did you learn and things like that?
Well, really, I learned that, well, with the effective teachers, they had taught me that I can literally do anything that I want to if I put my mind to it. And that if I worked hard enough, I can achieve any goal. But then those teachers that affected me in the wrong way actually did nothing but make it worse. Mm. It caused me to act out. Mm. It made me not want to be in school.
Yeah.
Mm. It made me hate school.
Yeah, right. That's deep. Yeah, well, with me, I've definitely experienced a lot of affected teachers in negative and positive way. In my old school, Colfax, I definitely had very slim number of teachers who were very positive. Usually the negative ones, I'll start with the negative ones. Negative ones would usually be very, like you said, very discriminative, very, of course, you know, rude and disrespectful just because of, unfortunately, of race. I mean, that was a big thing in my school was race, just because during the time of me going there, there was a lot of segregation. There was a lot of things going on in different neighborhoods. Certain schools were being shut down, so a lot of kids from different neighborhoods come together. A lot of teachers would just, based off of the color of your skin, would just label you as such a thing and then not give you a chance to really show your humanity, because that's basically what the main problem was, is that there was no humanity being shown and stuff like that. So I definitely had teachers who were there for me, and I appreciate that because, you know, you don't get that. Mm-hmm. You get more negative than positive. Yeah. So I appreciated teachers who actually care for me based off of just the character, my own, you know, self, not just of what I look like. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, and I definitely do understand.
Yeah.
I might not be able to do something. They've told me, no, if you just strive to be the best that you can do this. You can do whatever you put your mind to. Actually, this year, I'm dealing with a teacher that is very non-effective in my eyes. When I ask for the help that I need from her, like if I don't understand the topic that we're going over, she'll be like, "Oh, well, it's actually easy. You just need to pay attention more." And I'm like, "Well, if I don't feel that it's easy, and I'm asking you to give me help on this specific topic, I need you to like take the time with me, like make sure I understand it, so that I can get the good grade that I want in your class." Mm-hmm. And like, she'll just make it more difficult. She won't talk to me on the side. She won't just give the time that I need to like excel in her class. Your job as a teacher is to make sure that your students understand the material that you're giving to us. And if your students are telling you that they're not understanding the material, you should have like the need or the want to take the time out and help them and to excel in their class. When she does that, it makes me feel like she doesn't care about me, not personally, but like just as her student.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is really deep, because that's the thing that actually makes kids hate school and not want to come to school, and that makes them resort to other different ways of doing certain things,
right.
And it puts them in situations that they should have never have been in.
Right. Yeah.
How about you, Sundi?
Yeah.
We're calling out all students. It doesn't matter if you're in PK or a senior in college. We're calling out all students. On January 15th, 2018, we're having our MLK Dreaming Radically Youth Conference. The purpose of this conference is to help students recognize their individual and shared power throughout this day-long conference. Young people will learn to push the boundaries of what is possible to achieve change within their educational and community experiences. By attending this event, students will begin to truly explore how change takes root when they dream radically. During the MLK Dreaming Radically Youth Conference, we will provide a space for intentional and honest dialogue, define diversity and inclusion within our schools, highlight community organizations working with youth, brainstorm sustainable solutions regarding the education system in Pittsburgh, develop action plans. We will have workshops led by community leaders and organizations, network with students' leaders that are active throughout Pittsburgh, master strategies to use media as a tool for social change, learn to build leadership and advocacy in your community. If you want more information or to register, you could go to the Team Block Facebook page or aplusschools.com. This event, again, will be happening Monday, January 15th, 2018, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can also contact us at 412-697-1298.
That's exciting. That's what's up. So, guys, to get more involved in Team Block, we have the citywide meetings that are, well, the next one coming up will be November 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. It'll be the third Tuesday of every month. And we will also be having our chapter meetings on the North Side and Brashear. And I definitely feel that joining Team Block is a way for the students to build basically communication, to be able to have freedom within self when you come here to be able to express yourself and not feel caged in, not feel locked in, not feel in a way where you're restricted. I basically feel that Team Block is a way for you to have your own ground, build your own confidence and leadership skills and ability to lead and move forward in these issues in life in general.
Definitely.
And this is our voice, guys. Like, honestly, this is us. This is how we communicate with our school districts.
Yeah.
This is how we get the point across, because while we're in the school, it's not working when it's just students. Now we have adults and people that support us who see the same things that we see and who see that we are screaming for help.
Yeah, right.
Because before, I didn't have like a main platform to like talk about problems like this. I always thought about like adults at my school aren't going to hear it coming from me, like, or a couple of students. So let's be like, yeah, well, you're just kids, so I mean, what y'all gonna do about it? And now, like, we have a big group of people to come like across and bring our points across. So it's like, this is one main platform that you can really discuss your problems. Like, we can come up with solutions. So
yeah, the more work, the better.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. That concludes the episode of Youth Block on Youth Express, recorded from SLB Radio. Special thanks to Amy, Mattson, Michelle, Brandon. We welcome your feedback and input. Please address comments to info@youthexpress.org. Listen to Youth Express, all youth, all the time. For more of this podcast or others like it on demand, find us on SoundCloud or stay tuned to youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.